Dodson!
You shouldn't use my name.
You know what I said? Dodson! Dodson! We've got Dodson here! See, nobody cares. Nice hat. You're trying to look like a secret agent.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Hey, baddies, thank you so much for coming back to Next Door Villain podcast.
I've been whistling this music all week long because I am so excited to talk about one of my favorite films of all time. And if you didn't recognize that music, it's probably because of my poor musical prowess. But I was going for the theme to 1993's blockbuster movie, the highest grossing film of all time at the time it was released, produced or written, probably and produced by Steven Spielberg. If you don't know what I'm talking about already, it is Jurassic Park.
Ooh.
Based on the novel by Michael Crichton.
If I could do a dinosaur screech right now, I would, but no one wants to hear that right now. So thank you, Joe, for that wonderful rendition of the Jurassic Park theme via whistling.
Yeah, so the villain in this film is someone I haven't thought about in a long time, but last week I just happened to be watching Jurassic Park for like the fifth time, and Tiana messaged me and was like, what villain do you want to talk about next week on the podcast? And all of a sudden it hit me that we could talk about Dennis Nedry, the nerdy computer scientist. Is he a computer scientist?
Computer, I think they call him
a programmer.
Computer programmer.
Yeah.
Also probably like a software developer too in some ways.
Yeah, he's a computer geek who works at Jurassic Park, and he runs the basically the security and automated systems that keep the dinosaurs in their cages and the security
systems. Pretty important job.
Yeah. Pretty important job for one person to be running by themselves, which we will talk about more later. Now, if you're not like me and you don't watch Jurassic Park once a year, then you may need a little bit of reminder about who Dennis Nedry is. And so we're going to give that to you in the form of 30-second intros where we, with no preparation, do our best to describe everything about the character in just 30 seconds. And that's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always feel so awkward describing this part of the podcast because it's so stupid and pointless, but we continue doing it.
People like it,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it adds something. I don't know what that is.
All right, I can go first.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so Dennis Nedry, you might know him as the guy who's the meme that's like, blah-bitty blah blah. See, nobody cares. And he's really cool and funny, and he has a really messy desk, and he's a computer programmer. And basically, he's fed up with how much he's paid by Dr. Hammond at Jurassic Park. So he goes and he wants to sell some embryos to some other people named Dodson. Dodson. But unfortunately, on his way to stealing the embryos, he dies by a Dilophosaurus.
Time's up.
The end.
That was really good. Honestly, maybe one of your best.
Yeah, I really mentally prepared. Also, it helps that I chugged a 16-ounce blended coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Right before that.
Yeah, that would do it.
All right, you ready?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know if anyone heard that, but Joe was like, death is upon me. Yeah. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Dennis Nedry is this sweet little large computer programmer dude who is approached because he is such a great computer programmer by this very rich dude who offers him a job working at this mysterious new theme park and running the whole automation system. And he negotiates this contract, which unfortunately isn't a great contract and doesn't give him a lot of money. And so because of that, he develops a lot of upsetness and then tries to take down the park and steal
Embryo. Good job. That wasn't too bad.
It's actually perfect how bad that was because of chaos theory.
Yeah.
You know, you never can never predict what might happen.
Oh, right. Anything could happen.
Yeah. Actually, that's not quite, to be honest, for the nerds out there, for the smart people out there, that is a poor description of chaos theory. Chaos theory is actually the idea that things are affected, that large things are affected by very, very minute changes. So the popular example is the butterfly flaps its wings on one side of the world and causes a tornado on the other. So the idea of chaos sounds like it's something that's unknowable, but actually the idea of chaos is that things are so knowable, I'm describing this poorly, that everything happens because of something else. But those things are so varied and so many and so complex that we can't possibly predict the outcome at any given time because we don't know all of the tiny variables that might have big impacts later on down the road. And the way this ties in back into Jurassic Park is because Dr. Ian Malcolm, the mathematician, that's his whole thing when coming to Jurassic Park, and he's brought there to evaluate the safety of the park. And he says, we are dealing with something that we know nothing about, and these things are so complicated that how could we possibly know anything about them, and that we have all this hubris about creating something and not really wondering what the consequences might be.
And so many little things and so many things can make other things go wrong in the park, right?
Yeah.
And with nature.
Right. And I don't bring this up for no reason. I'm trying to tie this back to our character, Dennis Nedry, and the many complicated factors that probably happened in his life led him to the point he is currently at. Did you like that transition?
I did.
Thank you. Not sure where I was going with it, but I just wanted to kind of tie everything together.
Right. So many instances in his entire life. And the complex instances in his life influenced him to do what he did in Jurassic Park, basically.
Yeah. And I didn't read Jurassic Park, but I read the sequel to it, Jurassic World, on accident.
How do you read something on accident?
Well, I intended to purchase Jurassic Park, and I accidentally grabbed Jurassic World instead.
I thought you just tripped. And
and I quickly realized.
I read a whole novel.
As I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is actually the sequel.
Yeah.
And I loved it, but it really explored that idea of chaos theory. Ian Malcolm comes back, and he's a big, basically one of the main characters of the sequel story, which does not follow the same sequel story as the movies, I will say. It really diverges quite a bit. Anyways, back to Dennis Nedry.
Dennis!
He's like weirdly like lovable.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of the first thing. To empathize with him. He's also disgusting. So it's...
Hey, I have a messy desk.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not to that extent, but...
Yeah, his desk is very messy. He's like kind of a gross dude. But at Oh, God. I'm really beefing this episode. Jurassic Park is one of my all-time favorite movies, and I'm so excited to be talking about it that I can't hone my thoughts as well as I usually would.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And there, you can still empathize with gross people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So Dennis is a character that when I was younger growing up, I thought he was so terrible. I thought he was like the worst dude, and he's stealing these embryos, and he's like just an evil guy trying to profit and steal from a company. And now rewatching it as an adult, or like when I rewatched it last week, there were some things that were very clear to me that I didn't pick up on it. And that is, I think, primarily that Dennis is severely underpaid. He has a terrible contract. Him and Dr. Hammond have a conversation about his terrible contract. And Hammond has no sympathy for how little
Dennis is being paid. Now, it does sound like Dennis negotiated that contract himself, but it sounds like he probably did so out of a place of weakness, not because he like necessarily wanted to do the job. So Dennis has a lot of financial woes that I think should not have been the case. Like, for a job like this, he should have had someone negotiating on his behalf, maybe like a union, perhaps. I don't know if programmers had unions in the early 90s, but I think there was a big missed opportunity for him to like be treated well.
Yeah. Why couldn't a millionaire, why couldn't he have paid him more? You know, like it's kind of dumb. Dr. Hammond would become like probably a billionaire from the park, and he couldn't pay the guy that literally stops dinosaurs from killing people. Not totally, but like we know that he controls the fences and the security. Yeah. So much rides on Dennis Nedry, and he probably did so much of that himself. Like, I would be mad.
Yeah, and Dr. Hammond, his line the entire movie is, spared no expense, spared no expense. Well, you spared some expense, didn't you, Dr. Hammond? You spared some expense on Dennis Nedry.
Let me do all of this, you know, mess with nature with all of my money and all of my wealth that I don't need to use on other things. But fuck Dennis Nedry.
Yeah, so these are all good reasons, I think, to sympathize with Dennis a little bit. He's in a difficult position. He's the only person basically doing the job that he's doing, and he's underpaid. Seems like everybody else hates him. It doesn't really justify what he's doing, but it's still bad that he's stealing from the company in order to make a profit for himself. But it doesn't seem like it would have been difficult for someone to anticipate this like potential liability. And with the amount of money the park was going to make and the amount of money that Dr. Hammond has, it seems like a pretty simple solution. Either give Dennis more money or have a bigger department.
He had no problem hiring incompetent scientists that didn't know frogs can change their sex.
All right, I think that's unfair. Because okay. The scientists did create dinosaurs from DNA they found in
the... True.
So incompetent, I think, is not the right word.
Might be a little too harsh, but wouldn't scientists who know how to create dinosaurs know something about frogs?
You would think that they would, but at the same time, like, how would you know that, like, those little bits of frog DNA that you were inserting would lead to that effect?
Yeah.
Okay. It goes back again to Ian Malcolm and chaos theory. There are these tiny little things that have really significant outcomes later on, and they're very difficult to tell what small things are going to have a big outcome later on. And this was one small thing that had a huge outcome, which was that dinosaurs were able to breed.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Yeah, I'm sorry, scientists, to have hurt you.
I don't know that you...
Empathize with the scientists.
I don't know that you necessarily need to apologize, because they seem thoroughly competent, but maybe hasty and irresponsible in the science that they went about.
Yeah. Going off of Dennis's salary, I think that he's also a bit unlucky with his timing as a software developer. And the job that he landed at Jurassic Park. So this is 1993. My husband is a software developer, so I know a bit about their lives and their salary and blah, blah, blah. Nowadays, like, an average software developer makes like $108,000 a year. If they have experience and if they're working at like a big corporation, they can make like between $150,000 to $300,000 per year. And that's not including like their stock options and benefits. And so even with like a bachelor's degree in computer science, because of the market, like that's a really good job to go into. I'm not good at it. It's not my interest. That's why I didn't go into it. But hey, it's a hot career. But like, software development and computer programming salaries didn't start to see a bump until like the mid-90s.
Interesting.
So one, like Dennis missed the mark. So he was like employed like at kind of not the best time, but almost. He was so close, right, to getting a better salary at some place. And sometimes I like to go back in time and be like, hey, Dennis, go work at Microsoft. Because if you were one of the early employees of Microsoft around 1993, like, he'd be a millionaire or billionaire by now. And so I feel bad because, like, we know how good the career can be, but he wasn't really all that lucky with it.
Yeah. Well, and again, it would have probably helped if he had been a part of maybe a union that could have negotiated on his behalf.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had that option. Was a union available even? Like, were there software programming unions? I don't know. But unions are important.
Go union.
A union could have saved a lot of lives here. If Dennis had been in a union, maybe he would have had more money, and then maybe the park wouldn't have shut down and the T-Rex wouldn't have eaten that insurance dude.
Oh, man. Yeah, and Dennis's death, that was rough.
Yeah. You know, so they make Dennis out to be, like, he's clearly very smart. You know, he's this, like, yeah, software programmer, but they make him out to be, like, outside of his programming, like, kind of a bumbling idiot type character who, like,
yeah,
just isn't, like, good at things. But the reality is this was, like, a perfect storm of bad things happening all at once. His plan was very good, and had this storm not come on at just that particular moment, then his plan was he would get the embryos, his program would shut down the park security in the right places for him to be able to get the embryos to the boat, and then he would come back and he'd get everything on back online and nobody would notice. But the fact that there was this huge storm caused him to be delayed and ultimately caused him to crash his car, and then he ran into that dinosaur who, what is it called?
Dilophosaurus, yeah. I think.
It, like, sprayed ink on his face. And in the book, you don't see this in the movie, but in the book, the dinosaur, like, eats, like, opens, splits open his gut and, like, eats him alive. And it's a very gruesome scene. They spared us that in the film. But my point is that he had a really good plan, and had there not been a storm, he probably would have executed it very well and likely could have gotten away with it and gotten his money. And I think even though it was not the right thing to do, I think we can respect how good of a plan he put together.
Yeah, and he only wanted the security to be down for like a few minutes, right?
Yeah, it was just long enough. He didn't shut down the security on the main building or the raptor cages.
So, yeah, his goal wasn't to kill anyone. He didn't mean to, of course. He's not fully forgiven, but the dinosaurs getting out was kind of incidental to his plan. Right.
And wouldn't have been a big deal had the tour groups come back when they were supposed to.
But, and if he hadn't gotten stuck in that storm, then he could have gone back maybe to put the security back in place. Because didn't the other character say, I can't get this back without Dennis Nedry?
Yeah.
Damn.
So the tour vans were delayed because Dr. Sadler wanted to stay with the Triceratops that was sick. And so if that hadn't happened, they all would have been back at the main place. And even if the T-Rex had gotten out of that enclosure while the security was down, it would have been back up in time for the T-Rex to still be blocked into, like, the main, like, park area. And the Velociraptors would never have gotten out. That's important. The Velociraptors were able to get out not because of, well, like, indirectly because of Dennis, but because in order to get past Dennis's security measures, they had to shut down the entire park and reset the entire system.
Yeah. In some ways, I actually, even though a lot of things went wrong, I actually kind of appreciate it, right? Because any of these things can happen at any time within the park. And it kind of, I mean, not thinking about the future movies or the future books of Jurassic Park, but in a way, Dennis Nedry and all of those other chaotic impacts on the park helped this chaos ensue earlier before the park was actually open.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There were some casualties, right? How many died total? Like 3 total during this movie?
Well, yeah, the guy who got killed by the Velociraptor in the very beginning, and that's why they brought people on the island to assess the risk. Right. Then the risk assessor on the toilet, the Muldoon, the hunter guy who helped Dr. Sadler go turn the power on, and then Ray Arnold, who first went to turn the power on but never came back. Was that 4?
Yeah.
If something had gone wrong while the park was open, it could have been much, much worse.
Yeah, it would have been much worse. Yeah. Also, Dennis kind of helped in a way, I mean, he made a huge sacrifice by dying, but in a way he kind of helped the people in the movie see what destruction can ensue with these dinosaurs and to take it seriously.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Hammond, he really... I digress, but...
Yeah, he proved Ian Malcolm right.
Yeah.
Yeah, had Dennis not done what he did, the park was definitely going to get approved. That investor dude, when he saw the dinosaurs, he was like, we're gonna make so much money. And
right?
Yeah, so had this not happened, the park would open, and I agree, something bad would have happened later. Part of the issue is because... for whatever reason, Dr. Hammond decided to automate this whole park. So that's part of Dennis's job, is that he like runs like the automation stuff. So like the cars drive themselves. There were very few staff on Jurassic Park. So when stuff went wrong, there was like no one there to deal with it.
Oh, yeah. So many things wrong with Jurassic Park. On a different note, I can say... I started to really like Dennis Nedry too. Definitely, you know, an entertaining villain here. And definitely not the only villain or main villain even. I would say Dr. Hammond is the main. But but like in a world that really likes perfectionism, Dennis Nedry's chaotic energy, I guess chaos is a theme here. Dennis Nedry's chaotic energy is really refreshing, like his vibe of like, I do what I want when I want, and I'll have my desk really messy if I want it to be, and eat some good random food on a random island kind of attitude. It's thrilling. And I think he also has this philosophy of like, don't take life too seriously. That's the whole thing behind the famous line of Dodson, Dodson, we got Dodson. See, nobody cares. Like, no one cares. Like,
Dodson's this like attractive operative working for this like other company, and he's got his sunglasses on, he's trying to be all secretive. Yeah, Dennis sees past all the hoo-ha,
right? I like that. He sees past the hoo-ha. He's crazy up the hoo-ha, and that's probably why he does unethical things so easily too. Don't take life too seriously, you know, like just get it done and get paid. I'll steal some embryos, screw it, you know, get mad money. Even though we know why that type of attitude can, too much of that attitude could be destructive in some ways. I mean, look at Dennis Nedry. But I could also use some of that energy sometimes. Like, why do I care so much about everything in life? I'm going to die in like 50 years or less. I don't know. I didn't do very much math
yeah, that's,
on that. But
that's a little on the young side, I think, for you. But...
80? 80
whatever, 80 something.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you're right. That would be a little on the low side. I would like to make it to 85. I think that's a pretty good number. Alzheimer's runs in my family, so I'd probably like 85, because, yeah, around 86 probably won't.
Yeah.
Won't remember everything, but I could just listen to this podcast when I'm old and be like, oh, yeah. I remember Joe.
What do you mean you remember me? Like I'm gonna be gone?
No, I just mean like I remember you in general, I guess. Oh, okay. Because chances are I might not remember too many people. Mm-hmm. But I'll remember you because I have your voice and name documented in audio.
Oh, that's nice, I guess.
So
Jurassic Park, I want to return to Dr. Hammond.
Okay.
I have a lot to say about this dude, and I think you have some feelings, some strong feelings about him as well. And to help fuel your strong feelings, in the movie, he is kind of depicted as this excited, energetic old man who just like has such a passion for... an excitement for what he's doing. And obviously he like seems to like want to be like make money and run this theme park and whatever. But in the novel, he is much more like serious and like capitalist and like mean and urgent. And no, he's not the friendly Dr. Hammond that we see in the film. And I think it definitely is worth a little bit of discussion about whether he is in fact the real villain here. And I think probably like you do, I think the answer is yes. Dennis is depicted as the primary villain, but Dr. Hammond, without him, none of this happens. He's the architect of all the bad things. Everything that he does creates scenarios that are bound to fall apart because, as Dr. Ian Malcolm says, but you were so preoccupied with whether or not they could do it that they didn't stop to think if they should do it.
Yeah, and why would you want to manipulate the way of the world so drastically? You brought the species back, all of those species
right.
back, in one place, in cages, around humans.
Yeah.
It's tough because you're creating a vision, but the ethics of it also get really murky. Like, am I going to exploit nature and the dinosaurs by keeping them in cages? I'm going to exploit my computer programmer. Like, he seems so good on the surface, but deep down, like, he's irresponsible. He's going to use nature to make money, and that's probably has some immoral implications to it. And I don't know, just not a great dude, you know?
Yeah, that's my read. Dennis is a guy who is in a bad situation and is fighting to do what he can to get himself out of it. His actions aren't morally just, but you can kind of see how he's not in a position of power. He's in a position where he's basically been exploited and he's trying to exploit right back. Dr. Hammond, on the other hand, is in a position of immense power and wealth. And despite having all of the resources you could possibly want, he chooses to do things without putting an appropriate amount of thought into it. He's choosing to do things that he doesn't have to do. It reminds me very much of that, like, that whole Silicon Valley idea of, like, move fast and break things. It's just in this case, there were some death consequences that he should take responsibility for.
Yeah. Oftentimes, like, when money comes first and where people, like, use their vision to make money and where people oftentimes exploit people to carry out their sometimes selfish vision and make money. And in this case, also exploiting, like, dinosaurs and nature. I think that Dennis thinks you have to play the same corrupt game through, like, corrupt means to come out on top. So, you know, stealing the embryos and getting money. And Dennis's, like, happy-go-lucky attitude, I feel like, is evidence that he's already done the work to accept, like, a harsh reality and has moved on into participating in it. And so his attitude, like his happy-go-lucky attitude, sometimes makes me a little sad because he seems to have wholeheartedly accepted this harsh reality to the point where this reality doesn't bother him anymore, where he feels no remorse, where he seems to have no guilty conscience and no motivation to fight the corrupt system or do something differently. He just moved forward in doing what he needed to do, even though it was unethical.
When you're in a position of weakness, and I think maybe like a good metaphor is like when you're poor, the ability to rise out of poverty is like so exceptionally difficult. I've heard a lot of like wealthier people complain about like, oh, why does this poor person have an iPhone? Well, it's like, well, they still need things, or they'll complain that like poor people have luxury items, or not luxury items, but they just have like regular, like maybe they have like a video game console. And it's like, the thing is like, even if they saved that money, like the ability to get out of poverty is so difficult in the US that it probably wouldn't be successful. So for a lot of people who are in that position, it's better just to try to enjoy life as is and to use the money you have to enjoy yourself, to like make your standard of living a little bit better if you're not able to rise out of poverty. Whereas Dennis sees the corrupt system, and you really blame him for exploiting the corrupt system that created him in order to get out of it.
I think it's complicated.
I feel very soapboxy today.
Yeah.
For no good reason.
I mean, that's what this podcast is, you know. It's just Joe getting on his soapbox.
Hey, you sometimes get on a soapbox too.
True. Yes, yeah, I do not deny that. I'm just kidding. You know, it's complex. Because in some ways, I feel like as humans, sometimes we need to like do our best to, I don't know, fight the system or like make things better. But like, how do you do that as one person? You know, you can only do little things. And you as one person, you know, isn't really going to change a whole lot unless, I guess, you become a very famous activist, maybe become a lawmaker and then enact some policy. I don't know. Anywho, it's complicated, right? In some ways, I think people should try to make the world a better place. But on the other hand, if you yourself are exploited and if you find an unethical way to fight back and get out on top, it can also be kind of empowering.
It's hard for me to blame someone for taking advantage of the system that destroys them.
Yeah.
It's a nice idea to like rise up and defeat the corrupt system, but to actually do it is nearly an impossible feat. And to expect the people who are in the weak position to be the ones to be able to do it is obscene, I think. And to be honest, this is not at all where I thought this conversation was going to go today. Dennis has turned into be a more complex and interesting character than I could have ever imagined.
That's true. But if he were here, he would be like, I'm complex. See, nobody cares.
Right. I think I've said my piece today. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, I have some short contemplative poems written from Dennis Nedry's perspective that I can share.
Oh, that's perfect, because his persona definitely screams poet to me.
Yeah. Computer programmer by day, beat poet by night.
Right, well, I'm excited.
Here's a haiku. Okay. Haiku. This haiku is really deep. See? Nobody cares. Okay, here's another one. Podcast.
Are these all the same?
No. Podcast. This podcast is really deep. See? Nobody cares.
True. If you think that haiku was inaccurate, let us know by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes. All right. I'm tired of being a J. Robert Oppenheimer's underpaid right-hand man who is the only one who can find a start button on a Windows NT 3.1. That was the version of Windows that existed in 1993. and fun fact that we didn't mention is that a picture of J. Robert Oppenheimer is on Dennis Nedry's messy desk.
Who is Oppenheimer?
He created the atomic bomb.
Oh, cool.
And so it was like a metaphor for like manipulating nature to change life as we know it. J. Robert Oppenheimer did say something. Well, he quoted the Bhagavad Gita, "I am become death, destroyer of worlds." So it was a little egg, Easter egg, not an egg, a little Easter egg in the movie.
Yeah, that's a cool little tidbit. I'm going to have to think about that a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. Get money, get paid. They're birthing dinos without getting laid. I get paid. Panic, Pete, squeeze toy. Oh, messy desk of chaos. Reminds me, you don't squeeze me. I squeeze you in the midst of man-made shit. At least J. Robert Oppenheimer knows he was J. Robert Oppenheimer. Because Dr. Hammond does not. All right, here's another one. Lest we not forget, I manipulate the world trajectory for money. Lest we not forget, you do too. Okay, one last one.
Okay.
Dodson, we got set life and dreams made here. See? Only I care. Boom.
Those were great.
Thank you. All right, that has been our episode on Dennis Nedry, our beautiful gross soul.
I'm thinking about being Dennis for Halloween. I just had the idea right now because I've been trying to think of a Halloween costume. I think that could be fun.
Oh my God, it could be a couple's costume with Dodson. Jen could be Dodson.
So I'll try to talk her into it, but I don't know if she'll go for it. But I love it.
And then everywhere you go, you have to go, Dodson, and like point at her.
I think that's important because it'll be the only way anyone will recognize my costume.
That or you bring a portable messy desk with you everywhere you go.
All right, I'm going to put some thought into this.
Yes.
And if you have other ideas for my Halloween costume this year, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send us an email or Instagram us or Twitter us or TikTok. Can you TikTok people? Is that a thing?
If we follow each other, they can direct message us on TikTok, but it's probably best if they direct message us on Instagram or email us.
Well, you can find all those things at NextDoorVillain.
Mm-hmm. And the email is nextdoorvillain@gmail.com.
Exactly. This has been a Next Door Villain Productions podcast.
Productions. We're a corporation now.
No, we're not. Okay. I don't know if that's a legal thing. Are you allowed to say you're a corporation? Like, we're misleading the sheriff.
That was a joke. We are not a corporation.
Yeah. All right.
Do not tax us.
That's enough, I guess. Not from you. Just in general.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.